Well, just a snapshot of where we've been and where we're headed in the midst of this sermon series called San Marcus as It Is in Heaven. We're really looking at an overview of who we're asking God to help our church to be. Like, man, what do we want the well to be? Rooted in the Word of God, seeing what we see in the Scriptures, what are we begging God for in this church? And so we began this series with a look at the woman at the well and really just begging God that we would be a church that joins Jesus in his mission. That Jesus is going to people who have been cast aside and saying, hey, I have life to offer you. And we want to join Jesus in that mission. And then just last week, we talked about how this church exists to multiply disciples of Jesus who are reaching the campus, the city, and the world. You'll hear us say that regularly, that that is why this church exists. And we gather on Sundays to worship Jesus, but we exist as a church every day of the week for the purpose of multiplying disciples of Jesus. And then beyond that, we say, really, how do we do that? Okay, if we exist to multiply disciples of Jesus, really, how do we do that? We are seeking to help one another say our next yes to Jesus through enjoying God, growing together, and living on mission. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at those three things. Tonight, we're going to talk about enjoying God. And then the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about growing together. And then I believe the 2 weeks after that, we're going to look at living on mission. But tonight, I want to talk about enjoying God. I want to begin with this question. Do you enjoy God? Do you personally enjoy God? I would love to look each and every one of you in the eyeballs and say your name and ask this question, that do you enjoy God? And then have like a really honest heart to heart. That if you were just really honest tonight, and had to answer that question, do you enjoy God? Now, behind that question are 1,000 other questions. When I say God, I have some idea of what I mean by that, really who I mean by that. But when you hear God, what do you mean by that? And then those who claim to love God in your life, how did they portray that love? Did they enjoy God? Were you raised in a home where your parents or grandparents or whoever raised you loved God? Did they enjoyed him? Or perhaps some of you grew up in an experience where your parents might have gone to church, maybe not, but they might have said they were Christians, maybe not, but there was seemingly no enjoyment of this relationship with God. It was just some type of cultural name tag they wore. A.W. Tozer, a famous Christian author, highly recommend the book to you, Knowledge of the Holy. He's known for a quote that says, "The single most important thing about you is what you believe about God." What you say about God. The single most important thing about you is what you believe about God. I'm convinced tonight, as we talk about enjoying God, that for many of us, our issue is not that we are not quote unquote good enough Christians, but it's actually that we lack a fundamental knowledge of who God really is. That we have a broken picture of who God is. And when someone says enjoy God, you might even go, how? How can I enjoy God? He's a far removed, distant deity that kind of wants something to do with my life, but kind of not. Or maybe God's some type of cosmic killjoy that's just demanding obedience from you every single day of your life, and he just wants more and more and more and more. The single most important thing about you is what you believe about God. And so tonight, I want to just unpack a pathway to enjoyment with God. I think about I had the opportunity to go on a whitewater rafting trip down the Zambezi River. In Zimbabwe, in between Zimbabwe and Zambia. I don't know if I'd recommend it. It was one of the scariest days of my life. But before we went on that rafting trip, we had like a tour guide meeting. And they said, hey, here's the things you're going to need to know for this journey. You're going to need to know who's on the boat with you. Why? Because there's a good chance someone's flying out while we're going down the river. Okay, well, that's not good news. I mean, I float pretty good. That's how the Lord made me. But that's not good news. He says, yeah, man, and there's crocodile biscuits in the water. I said, crocodile biscuits? That's you, boss. That's me. I'm a crocodile biscuit. Okay. I'm 0 for 2 here on excited about this adventure. He says, you're going to need to know who's in the boat. You're going to need to know how we paddle. That if we're going to make it down this river together, you need to know how to paddle. When I say this, you paddle on the left. When I say this, you paddle on the right. And then you're going to need to know how to pull yourselves in if we're hitting some big rapids. He said, there's some things you got to know if we're going to make it down this river. And y'all, I just want to tell you that there's some things we got to know if we're going to live a life of enjoying God, if we're going to go on this journey together. It's a crazy journey. There's going to be people who fly out of the boat. And we're going to do our best to be like, hey, come back in. But what does it look like for us to enjoy God on the journey? And not just grin and bear it, not just get through it, not just do all the right things, but really enjoy God. So I want to talk through a pathway to enjoy God. And the first thing we're going to look at really is who God is and what is his relationship with joy. So typically on a Sunday night, we'll gather and we'll cover one passage of scripture. Tonight, that's not the case. We're going to be at least four. So kind of buckle up. But the first one, Psalm 16. Psalm 16, middle of your Bibles, right near the beginning of Psalm. Psalm 16. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. Go ahead and turn there, maybe mark it, underline it. Like, man, write in your Bibles. That's a good thing. But I want you to hear this when we talk about who God is and what is his relationship with joy. Psalm 16, if you got it, say got it. Okay, Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me, this is the psalmist about God. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Man, I know our church, that's kind of fun. Our church gathered for just a time of worship and prayer two different times this week. I think once on Tuesday and once on Friday. And who went to at least one of those gatherings? Okay. Man, did anyone just say, man, I experienced some joy there? Like, I experienced some joy. You know why? Because God was there. And when you and I step into the presence of God, the word says that in his presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Okay? So Psalm 16, verse 11. In his presence is fullness of joy. Second one. First Chronicles, this is a little more of an obscure book. We don't read Chronicles a whole lot, but First Chronicles, here's a pro tip right before Second Chronicles. Hey-o. Right after First and Second Kings, okay? First Chronicles, Old Testament. I'm going to start reading in verse 23. This is a kind of song of David that he's singing after a moment where God's presence just, First Chronicles 16. So, thanks, Jordan. This is after just a unique encounter with the presence of God and David's responding in song. 1 Chronicles 16, starting in verse 23. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, for he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Strength and joy are in his place. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 27. There's something unique about being with God. And part of that is joy. And I'm going to guess, when I look at data among just our day and age, there is a significant absence of joy among people today. And this comes out in an intense struggle with depression, intense struggle with anxiety, but there is an absence of joy. And God's word says, hey, in the presence of God is joy. Which begs me to ask a question. If the presence of God is filled with joy and my life seems absent of it, how much time am I spending pursuing the presence of God? How much time am I spending pursuing the presence of God? And so if you and I were just sitting down at Bean and Brew, because that's apparently where we all sit down together. And we were having a chat. And I would just ask the question, hey, Ben, man, I just want to hear, man, what's it looking like for you to enjoy God this past week? One of the questions I would ask in that is, hey, Ben, I just want to hear about what it's looked like for you this week to spend time in the presence of God. And now here, let me give an example. I picked on you last week too, didn't I? Man, Ben, something about you. Man, it's probably because we hung out. I had a great time. Anyway, but this week it's the leather jacket. I mean, it's fresh, man. Yeah, fresh. All right. So I'm not saying this is true of Ben's life, but let's say Ben's like, man, Chris, I didn't really enjoy God this week. Like, I had rehearsal 3 different times. Rehearsal. Man, like, I get it. Like, I get that that's rehearsal. But what do we believe about God? We believe that God is omnipresent, that you and I, because of Jesus, have anytime access to God. That means rehearsal is no longer rehearsal. That means that class time is no longer class time. That means my work schedule is no longer just my work schedule. But that you and I have the opportunity, because of what Jesus did, to enjoy the presence of God 24/7. But how often do we view that? How often do we think of our lives as, hey, at any moment, God is with me. I can enjoy his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. But how many components of our lives do we compartmentalize and say, no, this isn't God time. This is just me time. I've got to work, or I've got rehearsal. I've got whatever. I've got my commute 5 days a week. Whatever that is, this isn't God time. This is whatever other time it is. But if you and I are going to step into the pathway of enjoying God, we need to know that we need to pursue his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy. So just 2 quick kind of practical things. Tonight is going to be largely practical. Okay, so 2 practical ways that I think God has encouraged us. I'm also encouraging faithful believers who have enjoyed God a lot more than I do encourage. The first one is just, man, do you have a time set apart just for you in the presence of God? And you go, oh, here goes the preacher telling me to have a quiet time again. I just need to have a quiet time. Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, I tried to have a quiet time and it was terrible. Because all I did was believe that if I had enough quiet times, God would love me more. And guess what? I don't feel any more loved by God, and I've had 1,000 quiet times in my life. Well, okay, I want to talk to you a little bit more about that. There's some things I'd be interested in exploring there, but I don't spend time with Ashley because I have to. I spend time with Ashley because I'm crazy about her. Because I love just staring at her eyes. I love having conversation with her. I love learning about her. So last night, we went out to dinner. Thanks, Lexi. You're awesome. And man, that's just one way to enjoy God is probably just taking care of other people's kids. You know, I'm sure that's an amazing way to enjoy God. You should all do that regularly. But we went out to dinner. We just got to talk, and I heard more about her life and some of the things she's thinking through and processing and working through. And I loved getting to know my wife more. And we've been dating for like 12 years. But I just love sitting with her. Not because I have to. I didn't get married because I need some ball and chain in my life where I've just got to show up and do these tasks. No, I'm crazy about my wife. So I want to sit with her. And I want to sit with her, just her. Like, I love my kiddos. But they're crazy. And they're very hungry for attention. And I want time where just Ashley gets my attention and I just get Ashley's attention. And do you have that kind of relationship with God? We're like, man, I just want to sit with God. I'll be honest, sometimes I have not viewed God that way. Spent 5.5 years in Bible school. And I'll just be honest with you guys. Pray for Dwight. He's going through it now. But sometimes the Bible just became a textbook, and God just became someone I had to write a paper about that week. And what happened in that? I forgot that in the presence of God is fullness of joy. So one way I'd just encourage you, man, just spend time alone with God. And if you're here tonight, you're like, Chris, I don't know how to do that. I would love to have that conversation with you. But I also know that like, your house church leader would love to have that conversation with you. The other people in this church would love to have that conversation with you. Just ask somebody, how do I have time alone with God? The second way would be, and I would say I'm a newcomer to this. I struggle with this a lot. Ash and I have had several seasons of trying to develop this. But the second would be, so if that is a daily practice, this is a weekly practice called Sabbath, where you are genuinely practicing being just completely just soaking up the joy of life with God. It's a whole day set aside every week to just enjoy God. What a gift from the Father. Look, God created the earth 6 days, and on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. And then in his commandments, he says, hey, you should do this too. And you know, modern sociology says, hey, you know who some of the healthiest people are? Are people who rest one day a week. Huh, that's fascinating. I've heard that somewhere. And so Ash and I are trying to start again with our kiddos, a little more difficult, but just let's have a day a week where we just enjoy God. And that looked like hiking in Wimberley by the river. We got to see my brother and have a great meal. And it was, I want to enjoy God, which often for me involves really good food and some outdoor time. But that could be like, man, I'm going to watch a show I really enjoy. I'm going to read a book I really enjoy. Why? Because what you're doing on Sabbath is saying, I don't have to work to earn God's love. I don't have to work for it. It's a whole day where you don't work to teach yourself the actual gospel, that God loves me regardless of what I do for him, but just because I'm his. And I wonder how many of us have no days where we practice this gospel, that in his presence is fullness of joy, not because of how much I've earned in front of him or how much I've done for him this week, but just because he loves me. Take a day a week. Just enjoy God. I dare you. See what happens. Okay. In his presence is fullness of joy. I think a second step on the pathway to enjoy God is knowing what he's done for us. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Listen to this. This gets super intense here. Psalm 32. It's probably where we'll spend, oh goodness, most of our time. We'll see what happens. Go quick. Psalm 32. 16 chapters after Psalm 16. Psalm 32. If you got it, say got it. Okay. Listen to this language. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. But I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Okay, this is where I want to holler. But I won't. I'll just act like we're sitting at a table one-on-one at Bean and Brew, talking about enjoying God. I'll pick on Jake this time. I've never picked on Jake before on Sunday. I said, Jake, Tell me again the story of when you discovered the good news of Jesus. And I'd ask him, tell me again. Let me hear it. And he'd tell a story that involves some tough moments. But he'd also tell a story of hearing of the good news of Jesus, that God so loves Jake and the whole world, that he sent his perfect son into the world, fully God, fully man, to take our sin, our disobedience on himself, crucified on the cross, be buried in the ground, and then raised from the dead 3 days later. That through believing in this Jesus, we could be forgiven of all of our sins. And I would look at Jake and say, Jake, isn't it the best news ever that you and I can be forgiven? An obstacle to enjoying God is believing that he doesn't actually forgive you. It's believing that he doesn't actually see you as a new creation, that he sees you as a piece of trash, or he sees you from all of your mistakes, all of the times that you said no to him. If you find that your relationship with God is lacking enjoyment, that it's lacking in joy, I would ask you, have you celebrated his forgiveness of you? And so one thing I've actually done with multiple kind of folks over the years, Chris, I don't really enjoy my relationship with God. I don't know what the deal is. I have a little exercise we'll just walk through. I say, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to take a sheet of paper, and I want you to write down every terrible thing that you've done in your life. Just make a big old list. Throw the big ones on there. Man, like I tried to murder my parents. You know, just go ahead, throw it off. If that's you, like, it is a big cross. We should probably talk about that. But, man, just anything you think of, just put it on the sheet of paper. What? Really? Why? Like, that seems really hard. Yeah, just do it. It'll be great. And sometimes I'll sit there with them in it, or I'll say, hey, just take some time. Just go do that. And then I want you, with a red pen, I want you to just scratch out every single one of them. And right next to it, every single line, Jesus paid for this. And 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 I'll never forget, one student in particular just came back. She said, Chris, I did that. And I feel like I just lost 20 pounds. Like I've never felt this way before. Let's hear what the Word of God says again. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Here's the opposite when you hide your sin. For when I kept silent, there's a physiological response. My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. The psalm ends in verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. If you find that your relationship is absent of enjoying God, I want to encourage you to take some time and think about the reality of how he sees you. So the first one's how you see God. Do you actually see his presence as being the source of joy? The second one is, how do you think God sees you? And the truth is tonight, if you're here and you have believed in Jesus, that you say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus, he sees you as forgiven. Every single sin, past, present, and future, he paid for. He sees you as his beloved child that he pursued through Jesus. That's how he sees you. Again, I'm using my relationship with Ashley quite a bit tonight because we're going to talk about that, this relationship piece. Because I think a lot of times we don't think of God in a relationship. We think it's some type of weird other thing. We make it this like strange, ethereal kind of thing. It's a relationship. Just like every other relationship, except it's the best one ever. But when I know there's stuff between Ash and I'll physically not feel good. Like if I've done something wrong and I just don't want to own it, like weekly, like my stomach starts to hurt. The psalm would say my bones begin to dry up. You know that feeling? You know when you're trying to hide something? You know when you've done something you're not supposed to? My son, he goes and hides in his room. That's what he does. 4-year-old sweet Caleb. When he's done something wrong and he knows it, he goes and hides. Why? Because sin has hardwired that into us. What happens in the garden? Adam and Eve disobey God, and what do? They hide. Hiding is not enjoying relationship. In many ways, it's the opposite of. And if you're here tonight and you'd say, Chris, my relationship with God is not marked by enjoyment, I would ask you the question, do you know you're forgiven? And I'm going to ask that in two specific ways. One, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I would just say, hey, quit that mess, man. Like, what are you doing with your life? This is the best news I've ever heard. That through believing in Jesus, I could be forgiven of all of my sins. This is good news. That I could be made whole again. that a righteous God who I will face judgment with will declare me righteous and holy like Jesus. Like I will get what Jesus has and Jesus took what I have when I believe in Jesus. If you're here tonight and you have not believed in Jesus, it is good news. And you can be forgiven. But then if you are here tonight, like I know many of you have believed in Jesus and you are following Jesus. Part of why we do communion every week, unless it's the Super Bowl, because we're trying to reach lost people anyway, is because we want to teach ourselves often that we are a forgiven people, that Jesus had to die for our sins. And some of us don't have a regular practice of confessing our sin and repenting of it with other believers. And I'll just tell you what happens there. Your bones dry up. Your relationship with God grows cold and distant because you have no vitality. There's no life in that relationship. Why? Because you've allowed sin to darken it. I'll tell you, some of the most joy-filled Christians I know are also great sinners. They're just better confessors. And so one of the things we would tell our student leaders in our college ministry in Huntsville was, hey, listen, we're not looking for perfect Christians. There was only one of them, and they crucified him and buried him in the ground. We're just looking for people who are quick to confess. That's what we're looking for, folks who are quick to confess. Why? Because I'm convinced that the people who are fastest to confess are those who most believe in the gospel. Those who are slowest are still really doubting. Ooh. Goodness gracious. Still really doubt. Sorry. I startle very easily. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. Those who are slow to confess are really doubting if Jesus can forgive their sins. So I just ask you again at the coffee table, hey, are you enjoying God? If not, what does it look like for you to pursue his presence? And do you know that you're forgiven? And if so, are you keeping your confession list pretty short? Or have you allowed it to grow pretty long? And if you've allowed it to grow long, why is that? Is that because you don't actually believe that Jesus' blood covered all of your sins? Are you hiding from him? And what would it look like to say, I am forgiven and therefore I can enter into and celebrate God's presence in my life? Do you hear the sin keeps me from his presence. I'm hiding. So of course you don't have joy in your relationship with God because you're hiding from his presence where the fullness of joy is. I want you to join me on this pathway to enjoying God, and that'll look like pursuing his presence and knowing that we're forgiven. And to those of us who are hungry for God and want to follow him with all of our hearts, you will be the first to confess your sin when you most believe the gospel. Oh, Jesus, may that be true of me. I don't want to hide sin. Not for long. I don't want dry bones. I don't want to feel like I'm dying. And that's what David says. He said, man, I feel like I was dying. Psalm 32. Story goes, then a good friend called him out. Nathan said, hey, bro, let me tell you something that's true about your life. You've done some things that are wrong against God, and you need to confess it. And so if you hear this forgiveness thing, you say, Chris, I struggle with that. A practical question I would ask is, do you have at least two people in your life who can help you stay aware of your need for Jesus? Do you have at least two people in your life who are helping you follow Jesus? Okay, so super real talk. Okay, the Strongs, they're not here tonight because they're about to host a rager at their house for the Super Bowl. I texted him this week. I said, hey, man, I'm really struggling with my attitude to just enjoy being with my kiddos. Like, just feel like they're super needy this week. And he said, well, Chris, I am going to pray for you. Also, just want to encourage you with this passage that talks about your calling to die to yourself and be a servant. Man, I need friends like that in my life. I need friends who are willing to say, hey, Chris, God called you to be a husband and a father. And so I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, that's super hard. My kids are super. No, like we're not going to do this mess of like my kids are super hard. No, they're a blessing from the Lord. I'm called to show up for their life. I need a friend who looks at me and says, hey, go be the dad God made you to be. But thanks for reaching out. Let me know how I can help. And maybe I could take them later this week for a bit. Man, I need friends like that. And if you don't have at least two folks in your life who are actively helping you follow in Jesus, I'm just convinced you're going to miss out on enjoying God to the fullest. You're going to fly out the boat and there'll be no one there to pull you back in. I want a bunch of folks who can help pull me back in, not just because I'm a big boy, but oftentimes because I fall hard. Do you have some people who could help pull you back in the boat? Okay, lastly, John 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John 15. This is really our kind of anchor text for enjoying God. John 15. Then we're going to wrap it up. John 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you hit Acts, you've gone too far. Start in verse 8 with me. If you got it, say got it. By this my Father is glorified. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples in a super intense moment in his ministry. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Hear this first. Hear this. As the Father has loved the Son. Think about that just for a moment. We believe in an eternal God. That means there was no beginning for God. He always was. And we believe in a triune God. That means we believe in a Father, Son, Spirit, unique in person, united in Godness, always loving one another. The Father has always loved the Son. Think about it a little further. The Father seeks to give glory to the Son, to lift him to the exalted place, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is what the Father has done. The Father raised the Son from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father. This is how the Father has loved the Son. Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Wow. Do you not hear that this is the best news the world has ever heard? I should open my eyes a little more. This is the Father has loved the Son, so the Son loves you. Abide, remain, walk in my love. It is the primary calling of the Christian is to walk in the love of God. And then what follows? Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you and I are going to pursue a life of enjoying God, it will also involve pursuing obedience to Jesus. And we don't have time to unpack that fully, but the short story is that God has created the world in a certain way called his good design. And when you and I walk in his good design, the best life we can live is found in that, is in God's good design. If you want a crappy life, you just step on outside of God's good design and you see what happens. And I would imagine every single one of us have experienced that. We experienced that in our own lives, in our childhood, that when people stepped outside of God's good design, crap hit the fan, and a lot of people got hurt. But if you want the fullness of joy, listen to this, you obey my commandments, and you will abide in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy, Jesus speaking, may be in you and that your joy may be full. If you and I are going to live a life of enjoying God, it will look like regularly saying our next yes to Jesus. The most joy I've ever known is when I have given my life to saying yes to Jesus. Where did I get that? From Jesus. Shortly before he goes to the cross to die for my sins. He says, listen, first and foremost, you need to abide in my love. Just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. How do I abide in your love? You keep my commandments. That's how. Wait. So Jesus, you're saying you only love me if I obey you? No, I'm not saying that. Did you mishear the rest of the Bible? What he's saying is, but if you want to know my love, if you want to know how I've loved you, if you want to experience the best of my love, then you'll walk in the way that I've made you to walk. Why? Because my joy is there. Because that's where his presence is. That God's presence is uniquely found in saying our next yes to him. I want to live my life like that. But I wonder how many of us are living a joyless relationship with God. I wonder how many of us are just trying to please God. We're just trying to heap up our attempts at righteousness to make God happy. And you have this picture of God that, no, I've tried the God thing and it didn't lead to joy. And you know what? So just screw it all. And you might still wear the name tag of Christian. And here's where I want to go back to Ash and I. I would imagine that whether it's your parents or some other parents you know, that you have seen people say they're married, but obviously not enjoy each other. And I want you to think about the pain that that's caused, maybe even your own life. I want you to think about the injuries that that's resulted in your life and in those individuals' lives and the spouse's life, in a relationship that wasn't marked by enjoyment of one another. I remember I was about 8 years old, and I remember probably about 6 of my friends' parents were getting divorced. Man, that messed me up. Anytime my parents got in a fight, I'd be like, whoa, are y'all going to get divorced? And they're like, no, son, we're not getting divorced. And I was just so scared all the time. Why? Because that which God had called to be marked by enjoyment seemingly kept being separated. And so look, why are we going to say we want to be a church that enjoys God? Because if we're not, what does that teach the world? What does that say about God? And what does that say about us? What are you even doing here? Like, if you just keep showing up to church stuff and you keep trying to do church things, but it's absent of joy, then all you're doing is disorienting your own life and those around you. Now, I'm not saying the answer to that is just tap out and walk away. I'm saying the answer to that is you've got to think through some things here. Primarily, what do you say about God? And what do you think God says about you? It's funny, A.W. Tozer would say the most important thing about a person is what you say about God. C.S. Lewis, another famous Christian author, would actually say the most important thing about a person is what God says about them. I think they're both right. And if you're here tonight, I think God wants to call you friend. And friendship's meant to be enjoyed. So I'll conclude with the same question I began with. Do you enjoy God? And if you don't, here's a pathway. You pursue his presence. You celebrate his forgiveness. And then you live a life of obedience to Jesus. Giving everything you have to say your next yes to him over and over and over. And if you say, man, I keep falling off the boat and I need some people to pull me back in to help me say yes to Jesus, I'd say, hey, great, join the team. I've got lots of people who help me say yes to Jesus. Not only do I have friends here locally, but I have another prayer team of like 7 dudes that don't live in San Marcos that I text probably at least 3 to 5 times a week. And I'm just saying, hey, guys, pray for this, because I need help saying yes to Jesus. But I'll tell you what, from a guy that was super depressed and thought about ending his life, the greatest joy I've known has come in obeying Jesus. And guys, I enjoy God. Not always. There were moments this last week where I was like, God, I'm not really like digging this right now. There's too much hard stuff. And he said, hey, Chris, come here. Come here. Come just sit in my presence and enjoy me. Hey, Chris, think about all that I've forgiven you of and how I see you as my kid. Hey, Chris, quit thinking about like all the thousand things you think you have to do to try and start a new church. Just say your next yes to me and watch what I do. And guys, yesterday as we spent the whole day as a family, I felt just a deep settledness of, oh, thanks, Father. This is what it's like to just enjoy you again. We want to be a church that enjoys God. We want to work hard for God. We want to do awesome things for God. But really, above all that, we want to be a church that just enjoys God. And I think as we do that, we'll see San Marcos be more like heaven, a place that will be marked with more joy than we've ever known in this world. So gracious God, we thank you for this time. Lord, as we just go from here to Super Bowl parties around the city, God, I pray that that'd be marked by just a rich enjoyment of you, an enjoyment of one another, an enjoyment of hopefully some good food at the parties you go to. And God, that you would teach us what next steps we need to take. God, that you'd show us, hey, is that something where I really don't know how to spend time in the presence of God? Would you show us if that's, Lord, we aren't confessing our sins to you or to others, we're hiding. Or God, if we've become dull in our pursuit of obedience, so God, would you show us? Would you show us so that we might be a church that really is marked by enjoying you? That when people come to the well, when people meet the people of the well, they go, man, those people, they like really love God. They might be kind of crazy. They might do all sorts of crazy things, but man, they really love God. And so, Father, I thank you that you want that for us. That you want us to enjoy you. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. God, you protect us as we go from here. And God, may we be your church this week for your glory and our joy. In Jesus' name.